All right, we're going to continue with our driver availability. We're joined now by Clint Boyer, driver of the number 14 Haas, 30 years of the VF1 Ford. I understand you were in Sturgis this week, and it was a big weekend for Ford performance in the unveiling of the 2019 Ford Mustang. Just talk about, as the defending winner, just talk about coming in here with the chance to for the season sweep and cap off a big week for Ford performance.
Yeah, absolutely a big week. Yesterday was a lot of fun unveiling, you know, the new Mustang. I'm a car guy, right? I grew up in car shows and around hot rods my whole life. When you look at Ford and you look at racing, it was always bothersome to me that we weren't racing the Mustang. It's like the Mustang is the race car in a Ford stable. It always has been that way. So to unveil that car and to look forward to seeing that on the racetrack is really, really cool. To be a part of. And then, you know, it automatically you start thinking back, well, we've had a really good year in what we do have. And you're looking at that car and looking at the lines on it and thinking about the capabilities and the possibilities of that car in the future, just automatically, you know, just gets you more revved up about it. So looking forward to next year with the Mustang, but more importantly, looking forward to, like you said, capitalizing on you know, the program we have with the Fusion this year and getting the most out of that, because slowly but surely here, the pay window is opening. Playoffs are fixing to start, and it's time to unleash the beast.
All right, we'll open up the floor. We'll start in the back with Wolfgang.
Clint, you just said you're a car guy. I understand it that you like any kind of cars or race cars. Your team won as a Formula One team. Are you any interesting to try a Formula One car just to see how it looks like or drive it?
I just want to go to the one where you park the boats. I want to. Here's my goal in life: to know somebody rich enough to have a yacht, to when I retire to go to Monaco, and to freeload on that yacht and not pay for anything, but be on that yacht in Monaco to start out that day of racing. I think that should be a good goal for anybody in life: to know somebody rich enough to have a boat like that. That is my F1 goal. I don't either. So, like I said, you got to raise the goal's got to be high. So,
all right, we'll come down front to Claire.
Claire B. Lang, Sirius XM NASCAR Radio. You know, there's so much tradition of the manufacturers when you come to this racetrack. And after unveiling the Mustang yesterday and then today rolling into this race, even Kevin Harvick yesterday was like, yeah, he used to work really hard to try to improve the whole program, but his focus for the playoffs starting at this race is really big. I mean, there's a lot of people now focusing totally hard on this track, and I'm wondering kind of what your thoughts are about that.
Well, we were obviously really fast here last time. We finished 1-2-3 with our Stuart Haas camp. Kevin was the class of the field, and I think we ran like third, you know, most of the race. So we were right there. All of our cars were really, really fast. That's last race. That's last week. So last week, you know, you think about racing and you know, whoever won last week, it doesn't mean anything. Everybody gets better week in and week out. You don't go back after a win and sit on your hands and not do anything and talk about how good you were. You go to work on trying to get better. Doesn't matter if you dominated the race and just destroyed the field, you go back and go to work on getting better. That being said, everybody's had time to get better here, and I know they will, but I know we have too. So it's always exciting to go to any racetrack for the second time, especially when you've had some success, to see how you're going to stack up when you unload again.
We'll come right here in the front, and then we'll go back to Brian Nelson.
Clint, I wanted to ask more experienced drivers about some of the younger guys and evaluating young careers. A lot of buzz about Eric Jones around Michigan, you know, sort of home state guy. Mm-hmm. For fans, what should we be looking for in terms of judging how good this guy can be? I mean, obviously more wins, things like that. But as we're watching races, is there stuff you look for that says, oh, this young guy's really got it? Or can you help us out at all?
Yeah, I mean, it's easy to look at just the time sheet and see how fast somebody is. That doesn't mean anything in our world. Anybody can go fast at any given point. It's how they restart, how they race, how they run throughout the course of a run. Are they always moving forward? Are they going backwards? You know, those are the things that I look for in somebody that's you know, going to be a challenge for me on any given Sunday is how they race in traffic and how they manage their tires and their setups, so they can be good, you know, throughout the not only that run through that stage, the second stage, and then how they get to finish. I think you see some of those guys finding that consistency in that, and you see some of them really struggling with that, and I think that's what separates the men from the boys in this sport, and it always has.
All right, we'll go back to Brian Nelson. We'll come up front to Nate.
Brian Nelson, Motor Racing Network, with Bristol up next, Clint. And all the work that's been done on the racing surface there and changing it this time and another change the next time. After, you know, the race earlier this year, where are we with that track, in your opinion? And, you know, do you as a driver, how do you feel about being put in the position of having to nudge someone out of the way to make that pass?
I don't know that you're in a position to do that. I mean, the only way you're in position to do that is be faster. You know what I mean? I think that racetrack is pretty unique. It always has been unique. But we've kind of created a deal that's kind of like a dirt track. You know, I flew over here with Tony. I stopped and picked him up in Knoxville, and we flew over, and he was talking about Eldora and you know, all the things that make that a good racetrack, and he was talking about maybe changing a little bit of it, a little bit of the lip on it, and you know, in effort to always make it racy no matter what line you're in. You really think about Bristol, it's about the only asphalt track in the country. It's obviously because of the VHT or PJ1 what we're putting on it, but it's the only asphalt track in the country where you can truly change the line, you know, in the racetrack. I mean, we can't do that anywhere else. We try to do it, and it maybe mimics it for a few laps or so, but Bristol, it seems like you can definitely change the outcome of the performance of the racetrack as far as what a fan sees through their eyes pretty drastically on that racetrack. And sometimes I yield caution and think that we got to be careful in doing so, because it does change our program quite a bit. But as a fan, I think that's probably pretty exciting, because it really does throw the teams and the drivers and everybody involved for a pretty good loop, because you can't forecast that. You can't set up for it. How much did they put down? Did they not put enough down? Did it rain on it? Is the temperature right? There's so many things that go into making that a good package and a good program for grip on the racetrack. If you change that ingredient the least little bit, maybe by mistake or anything in between, it's a pretty drastic change.
We'll come right here to Nate, and then we'll come over right here.
Nate Ryan, NBC Sports. Clint, when you talk about unleashing the beast, Chase Elliott was just in here and saying that he thought this race could be indicative of how people run at Vegas or during the playoffs. Do you feel like it's a barometer that way?
This track, again, they're all so unique, but this track is just so fast. It's a horsepower, downforce track, and that's what I think his comments are coming from. But you got to – it seems like you have to you know, the center of the corner is so important here. Being able to roll with that momentum on this big racetrack is so important. Vegas, it just seems like you got some bumps, you got some character within that racetrack that you got to be careful of. The track's a little bit slicker, the grip level's down a little bit. So, yes, obviously through that, the horsepower and the downforce and all those things help aid all of that. But it seems like when you start talking about some of those other mile and a half and things like that, the grip level and the chassis, the handling and things like that come into play a little bit more than what I would think here.
One more for you, if I could. Jim France, how well do you know him, and would you like to develop more of a relationship with him if you don't have one yet?
Yeah, Mike Helton took us on a fishing trip when I first started, and we were down in Miami and got to spend some time with him fishing when I was young. You know, I think I was 25 years old, and got to hang with Jim all weekend long, and just a really neat guy, a racer. You know what I mean? When you really get to know him and talk to him, get some words out of him. He knows what's going on. He loves that sports car racing. He loves flat track racing. He loves motorcycle racing. I mean, this guy is a racer. So definitely a neat guy. And when you get to talk to him, or if you have talked to him, if you know him, I think you have experienced that same situation. All my conversations have been around racing, nothing more, all forms of racing. And for me, that's cool and always a breath of fresh air to be around somebody like that. Well, yeah, I mean, that wasn't the only time I've ever hung out with him. It was just the longest time I've ever hung out with him. Yeah. But, I mean, Lisa's the same way. I mean, it's Ben Kennedy, they're all – they're racers, man. They really are.
We'll come over to Detroit Media, and then we'll go back to Claire.
Thank you. Clint, Roy Akers, Detroit Sports Media. There was some scuttlebutt back in June that this could possibly be a restrictor plate race. I mean, Mark Martin was really talking about his passionate thing. Could you ever see this particular track having a restrictor plate race for at least one of the two?
Yeah. I mean, if we had to give and needed a restrictor plate, needed another restrictor plate track for whatever reason, I think you could make that work here. The track's wide. When you think about, Talladega, you look at the width of this place versus Talladega and stuff like that. I think this is a track you could truly hold it wide open the whole run all the way around and never void from that. So, yeah, I think you could create a pack racing atmosphere here without a doubt, if you wanted to.
Would you like to have that, though?
That's not my decision. If you ask my decision, no, I wouldn't like to have that. But, man, it's all about those people in the stands. They've always flocked to this place. This has always been a good atmosphere, a good vibe when you come to this place. You know, I urge all of you guys to get on a golf cart, get on your feet, get on hoof, and walk through that infield here and see how much of a good time is going on. You know, that's what we're all guilty of is we get into this world and we're in our own little world. We don't get out and really see through the fans' eyes of how they see this sport. And I do all the time. It's a lot of fun because, let me tell you, they're having a good time out there. And so it's always fun to go out there on a golf cart or walk around and hang out and just really see how a fan sees this sport.
We'll go back to Claire.
Claire Belang, SiriusXM NASCAR Radio. You were talking about the surface at Bristol, but here they're not applying the compound. They're doing the tire dragging around the track and up to, I think, 20 feet up to the second seam, up to 20 feet up. I'm wondering what your experience is with that. And they won't use a compound, just a tire dragging, and how you feel about it.
Yeah, hopefully it'll burn that in. I mean, these things are so unique. I grew up in dirt racing. You know, I remember being at racetracks where the flagger just stand out there or a corner worker or a cone or anything, and they just put it out there and not let you run on the bottom. You just run in the outside, then it'd start working down. Obviously, you can't do that with cars going 215 mile an hour, but burning in that second groove, that's my biggest thing about the tire dragging and all these preparations and stuff. We seem like we go to these racetracks and they prepare the groove. You know, we went to Texas and we got out there and they've been working for a month. Well, they just burn in the groove. That's where we're naturally going to run. We need you to go up and do like we do with the old school, you know, dirt racing and get that other line burnt in and some rubber in on that. But then I was at Kentucky at the test, and they did the tire dragging, and he did a good job of that. But you got to remember, this poor guy's in a tractor going 5 mile an hour trying to duplicate the line we're going at 200 mile an hour. He wasn't exactly on point. But once he got around there, I was like, hey, man, I get it. I couldn't imagine. I spent a lot of time in a tractor, and I couldn't imagine trying to figure out the line going 5 mile an hour in a tractor versus 200.
Go back right there.
Eric Young with the superspeedway.com. Clint, you're one of four drivers this year with multiple wins. All the talk's been about the big three. What do you need to accomplish, or what do you think you need to show to become more a part of that conversation?
Same thing everybody does, more wins. You got to be able to elevate your game and rise to their, you know, capabilities and expectations. Those guys, you know, not only do they have the wins, they're dominant cars. They've led a lot of laps. When they get those wins, all the stage points, all the stuff, you've got to be able to do that more consistently. On our team, that's what we have to do. We've done that. We've touched on that. We've made some mistakes, and we've got to get all those mistakes behind us and be able to capitalize on every possible situation, every stage, every lap. You know, I mean, that's what we got to do better, is just smoothing out the highs and lows.
All right, we'll take one more from
– you got to pretty much stay on top of the mountain. You can't fall off the damn mountain. That's what it boils down to.
We take Lee
Spencer, RacingBoys.com. There was a tweet from Adam Stern regarding Kurt's status from next year. If indeed he is leaving, do you want to be part of the selection process for whoever might be a new teammate for you in 2019, if that is indeed the case?
I don't even know if it's the case. So I've been out with a bunch of legends, and Sturge is having a ton of fun this week, and there's been a lot going on. And the good thing about being out in the middle of nowhere in South Dakota and Wyoming is your phone doesn't work. So that's not good on the home front. The wife is doesn't really like that aspect of it. But, yeah, I don't – the only updates I were getting are how's the kids and everything good. So, well, of course, if anything happens within your organization, anybody wants to – I mean, yeah, I'm a part of the team and no different than a crew chief or Kevin or Eric or Kurt. I mean, if something happens different, I think we all should know about it and be a part of it. Pops is with me. No.
All right, Clint. Well, thank you for your time today. Good luck in Sunday's Consumers Energy 400.
Thanks, guys.